Thank you. So, first of all, I want to correct something. I and Zope Corp have written a minority of the code in Zope 3. Most of the code in Zope 3 has been developed by people in the community. With some outstanding contributions by a few people, especially people like Stefan Richter and Philipp von Weiderhausen and Steve Alexander and a host of others. So the community deserves a big round of applause for where we are with Zope 3. So I'm sure you're all kind of, well, I'm sure many of you are kind of interested in where we are with Zope 3 and what it means for Zope 2. And so I want to talk about that first. Then I want to tell you about the time we had last week at the Gold Egg Castle and what that means for content management in Zope 3. And then I'd like to talk a little bit about another topic when we reach the end of that. So, first of all, I think whenever we look forward, it's helpful to also look backward to see where we've been so we can tell better where we're going. So, history, Zope started out as a commercial application named Principia. It was built on some open source technologies that Digital Creations released, including Bobo. Those of you who remember way back then, the object publisher and the early ZODB and at that time DTML. And the target audience of that application was really non-developers. It was actually something we sold as, you know, not then, but by today's standards, fairly primitive content management system. It was very much geared at a non-technical audience, lots of automation. One of the strengths of Zope 2 is it really allows a lot of non-technical people to be productive in interesting ways. It's also very highly object-oriented. I consider myself a zealot when it comes to objects, and so that was kind of reflected. And in particular, it made very heavy use of inheritance, and which then led to some problems. Zope 2's emphasis changed a little bit a few years ago as we, you know, particularly when Zope was open source, the emphasis changed to be an application server that wasn't a content management solution but was designed to be a platform to support content management. Had a much greater emphasis on developers, although with lots of sort of implicit automation legacy that didn't make it as productive for developers as one might like. Later, we developed the content management framework to sort of continue the sort of notion of supporting content management applications with various sort of standard content types and separation of presentation and logic and various other sorts of content management specific frameworks. And then lots of companies and organizations built content management systems on that. That includes, of course, Plone. And other systems like CPS and Akoya, and then of course, we have our commercial applications, and then there were systems built directly on Zope itself, so most notably perhaps Silva. So that's kind of the history. The future is Zope 3. It was designed originally to focus on developers. Actually, back in 2000 at Zope Corporation, we decided to spend some time brainstorming ways that we could make the development experience better in Zope 2. We felt we needed a better templating system, and out of that came ZPT. We felt we needed a component architecture, although we weren't really quite sure at the time what that was. And we also needed to provide a sort of a better integration between, or a better transition between through the web and file system development. The early emphasis was on the component architecture, and over a period of several months, we created a very rough prototype. Shane Hathaway created a very crude prototype to sort of demonstrate the basic concepts. Later, we used the tutorial that many of you listened to in a much shorter form as the next prototype, and then starting in late 2001 and then through 2002 and 2003 and 2004, we've been essentially refining the various prototypes. Key feature is the component architecture, but there are many many other features. One of the things we decided early on was to really create a blank slate. As we started to think about Zope 3 and about the component architecture, at first we started thinking about, okay, well, how can we do this in a backward compatible way? And what we realized was that that would be extremely technically constraining. We knew that there were a lot of problems we wanted to solve, a lot of new ground we wanted to cover, and if we had to deal with backward compatibility, it would be very difficult to make any progress. So we decided to really sort of start over, and that provided lots of opportunities to really learn from the past. And that's kind of led into lots of features in Zope 3 that actually have nothing to do with components. Some of the outstanding features, perhaps very importantly, you know, for this community is the internationalization support. Zope 3 was designed to be internationalized from the ground up, as opposed to Zope 2, even with the terrific strides we've made in Zope 2 with the various systems, all the way from things like Localizer and ZBabel and all the way up through, you know, LinguaPlone and everything. That problem is that the underlying application server really doesn't have an architecture designed for internationalization, so we have to work a lot harder than we should. Zope 3 has an architecture that was designed for internationalization. And of course, we have schemas, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with, if not in the form in Zope 3, then in the Zope 2 form, such as archetypes and formulator and others, and events and lots of other things that I won't really, you know, take the time in this discussion to explain. I imagine if you're at all interested in what those features are, you've probably found them by now or heard about them. I'd like to talk a little bit about the development strategy, and this strategy evolved over time, but I think it's really important. It's important to sort of understand where we are and what that means and how we're going to proceed. As I mentioned before, we decided to do a largely ground-up implementation, mainly not to be encumbered by backward compatibility. And then over time we've adopted various sort of processes that in the end have provided a much higher quality as a result. And from a developer's point of view, it's a very, very different kind of environment. The standards are a lot different. I think it bodes well for the health of the Zope community in the long term. Of course, we learned from Zope 2. Probably half of you heard about the three laws of engineering, so I won't repeat them. But a really important aspect of software development is making mistakes. Unless you have a time machine like Guido, it's very difficult not to make mistakes, and you sort of have to sort of build that into your planning process. When you build systems, you don't understand them. You have to build them, get them wrong, build them, get them wrong. And you do have to do that a few times before before you really understand the problem. So we've got lots of experience with Zope 2. It's time to take that experience forward, and that's what we've been doing. Of course, even then, we still made lots of experiences with Zope 3. One of the neat things about the Zope 3 process, one of the great things about the Zope 3 process is Zope 2. Zope 2 allowed us to take our time with the Zope 3 process. We had this great system called Zope 2, and we still do, and we've leveraged that to take the time. And so what does that mean? Well, we've had the time to make mistakes. We've adopted the extreme programming notion of merciless refactoring, merciless restructuring. There are many things that we built in Zope 3, tried them out, ripped them out, redid them. Most of Zope 3 has been implemented at least twice. We've also made progress with a very open development process. Most of the contributions have come from outside of Zope Corporation. We have a fairly active community, as in any community. Some people are more active than others, but lots and lots of people contribute in lots and lots of ways, whether it ranging from deep architecture to fixing documentation and writing books. And of course, sprints have played an important part of that, as have IRC and other things. But again, we've been willing to make mistakes, and that takes time, and we've been willing to take time, and the only way we've been able to do that is having Zoke 2. So I'm emphasizing this a bit. In terms of the Zoke 3 schedule, we're taking our time. We can because of Zoke 2. Don't need to rush Zoke 3. You don't need to feel rushed to switch to Zoke 3. Use Zoke 2. Zoke 2 is a great system. Don't use Zoke 3. Unless you want to. But really, not only do we not want to rush you to use Zoke 3, we don't want you to rush us to make Zoke 3. We want to take the time to get it right. Interestingly, over the last, over a year, maybe a year and a half, we haven't added any new features to Zoke 3. In fact, we've taken features away from Zoke 3. But for a little over a year now, we've done nothing but restructure and simplify and fine-tune. And we finally reached a point where we're ready for the X3.0 release. The X3.0 release is a release of a subset of what's in Zoke 3. We consciously took lots of things out of the X3 release that are otherwise in the Zoke 3 trunk so that we could make a commitment to a wide set of features that are stable. Are those features enough to write Plone? Nope. Do they provide a system that looks like Zoke 2? Well, a little bit, but with a lot fewer features. The X3 release is a realization that Zope X3 is far enough for some people to write production applications with it. And in fact, people have been writing production applications with Zope 3 for over a year now. But it's not for everybody. It doesn't have the same sort of breadth of tools and applications that Zope 2 does. But if it does what you need, if it has what you need, it's a great environment to work in. Whose needs are met by it and who don't need backward compatibility get terrific benefit from using it. And as far as the Zope 3 schedule, it's dependent on volunteers. And so it can be frustrating at times because you want to know when something's going to happen. And the only way you can have a solid idea of when something is going to happen is if you do it yourself. Because other people are doing it, and they also have to pay their bills, and so it's been very difficult to predict. So we just decided to chill out about it. Again, remember, we're taking our time. If you feel free to use Zope 2. Zope 2 is a great system. To be a little bit more specific, though, last week, let me first mention. Probably most of you heard about Zope X3, and the fact that the X means no attempt at backward compatibility. We will provide a transition path. I don't know to what degree the transition path will try to provide backward compatibility. I'm nearly sure that Zope 3 will never be 100% backward compatible with Zope 2. We probably won't even try, but we will provide a transition path. We aren't doing that now. Zope 3 is a teenager right now. It's still growing up. Before we plan a transition, we want to see what we're transitioning to, and we're not quite there yet. I forgot to say something when I started that I'll say now. I like to be interrupted. I like people to ask questions. If you have a question or a comment, make yourself seen to me, and I'd be happy to hear from you and answer questions. There are no dumb questions except for the ones that you keep to yourself. Zope X3 is today a platform for new applications and for new applications that either are willing to build new infrastructure that they need or willing to sort of live with the infrastructure that's there now. So it's not for everybody. But it is an appropriate platform for a large number of people, including Zope Corporation and others. Oxfam America. Going live this week. Is that more of a 5 or
Okay. Right. Okay.
Yeah, actually, Steve Alexander, who's left already, has built a number of applications with SOAP, production applications with SOAP 3. Alan and Sydney are going to be releasing something today, right? The thing you guys did for Kent Polk. I think I heard Alan say that. Yep. Did I jump the gun by saying that? I'm sorry. I hope I didn't speak out of turn. So, and I know of a number of other people who are a lot of the products that have been developed with SOAP 3 have been not public sites. They've been specific applications for specific people. SOAP Corporation's commercial products are actually built on a combination of SOAP 3 and SOAP 2, primarily using the SOAP schemas. Anyway, but not counting 5 and not counting the hybrids, there are a number of people who've been using SOAP 3 in production. Not a lot, and I don't know of any major public sites, but if you want to find out what SOAP 3 can do, there is a there's of course the CVS, I mean the CVS, Subversion repository. There are releases, and there's a book that you can get to on the SOAP 3 site, which I should mention is dev.zope.org/SOAP3 for the two of you who don't know. So anyway, we had a release candidate last week. It's conceivable there'll be a final release this week. I haven't actually been in much communication with Fredericksburg this week, so I don't know if Fred Drake is planning to make a release this week. If not, we'll undoubtedly make, unless people find problems, which, you know, with all of you busy here, hopefully nobody will, we'll make the final release next week. But that'll be ZOPEX 3.0. And one possibility for transition is that ZOPE 2 and ZOPE 3 will converge. We've heard a lot about 5 this week. 5 begins to introduce ZOPE 3 technology in ZOPE 2. Over time, we'll do more and more of that through both the fine efforts of Martijn Fossen, as well as efforts that we make on the ZOPE platform itself to bring it closer to ZOPE 3. And I'll talk more about that now. So let's talk. I'd like to talk a little bit about the plans for ZOPE 2. There are plans for ZOPE 2. In fact, there are no plans not to have plans for ZOPE 2. So ZOPE 2.8, which is actually, when I originally started talking about ZOPE 2.8, I didn't really portray it as an important release, but over the subsequent months, I was reminded that it is actually an important release. The original point of ZOPE 2.8 was to basically replace the existing extension class implementation with a new extension class implementation based on new style types. Python has new style types that provide a much cleaner type system for Python, as well as lots of interesting incidental features like descriptors and such. That work was all paid for by ZOPE Corporation, basically when Guido was working for ZOPE Corporation. And it was done, in addition, it was done for two reasons. One is because Python needed it. That's not the number one reason. The number one reason is so we could get rid of extension class. And so ZOPE 2.8 has a lean, mean extension class machine built on new style classes. And that's a fairly humongous change. At the low level, and so we wanted to sort of isolate that change in a release that didn't really do much else. But actually, if your apps survive the change to 2.8, and if they don't, you should definitely let us know, because 2.8 is kind of a shakeout release. We originally thought that maybe people would only play with 2.8. But make sure that things work before we did more interesting things. But in fact, it's a more important release than that, because it has ZODB 3.3, which has multi-version concurrency control, which is really important if you're encountering scalability problems due to read conflicts. If you get a lot of read conflicts, this will be a big win, yes? No, because ZODB 3.3 also uses new style classes, and so you need an extension class. You must use ZODB 3.3 requires ZOP 2.8 or ZOP 3. ZOP 3 uses 3.3 as well, because ZODB 3.3 uses new style classes. The question was, how well does CMF work with 2.8? Is Trace here? Okay, there are minor glitches, but it's fine. And we're planning to make an alpha release of 2.8 this month or early next month. So hopefully we'll be able to shake more and more of those out. The other very significant performance benefit of ZOP 2.8 will be that because it uses new style classes rather than the now rather long in the tooth extension class, it will also support cyclic garbage collection, which for many sites will mean perhaps an end of certain classes of memory leaks. So it has the potential to be fairly significant from a performance point of view. I also think that extension class was pretty cool when I wrote it for Python 1.3 or maybe 1.2, but it's a little out of date, and I suspect that there have been some optimizations to classes since then. So, and it'll let you use really cool features like descriptors and stuff like that. So and methods that have been added since 2.8. But again, it'll also be a foundation. It'll be an important first step towards later releases, most notably 2.9. We're still working on 2.8. 2.8 really, really will get done a lot faster with your involvement. Many of you have noticed that Zope Corporation, for various reasons, nothing that you should be worried about, but for various reasons, is a smaller company than it was before. And we're a healthy company, we're doing cool stuff, but we're also really busy, so we need lots of help. Need lots of help from y'all. And so Zope 2.8 will get out a lot quicker with your help. How can you help? You can test it, you can try it out, you can report bugs. If you have the wherewithal, you can fix bugs. Zope 2 and Zope 3 need to both be community efforts so that we can all benefit from cool stuff, cool new stuff. Anyway, Zope 2.8 needs to get out before we can work on Zope 2.9. Yep. Cool. Zope Bug Day this Friday. Cool. Will that be focus on 2.7 or will it actually focus on 2.8? Perhaps. I think we have a 2.7.3 release imminent, so I imagine this is preparing for that, perhaps. So Zope 2.9, this is where we'll really start thinking a lot harder about the transition from Zope 2 to Zope 3. We'll start putting things in place in Zope 2 to make it more like Zope 3. What will they be? Well, I don't know. It might be that effectively 5 lands as part of Zope in 2.9. I hope that maybe we can make some progress on IETN and localization. I would love in Zope 2 to do what we did in Zope 3 and figure out a way to make all the text internally Unicode and make all the encoding and decoding happen on the boundary. Martijn ensures me this is impossible, but I'd like to try. I also expect 2.9 to have a security model. I would like 2.9 to have a security model that is much closer to Zope 3's than what we have now. And, well, I don't know what else. We'll have to figure it out as we get closer. When will we get closer? Well, it depends on you, as I said. It depends on you. Zoe Corporation will do its part, but you all have to do your part as well. Or at least some of you do. And it won't be the last Zope 2 release. We'll have a Zope 2.10, whether you like it or not. Yes, we'll have multiple digits. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Okay, so I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk about the Castle Sprint, which wasn't quite a sprint. It was more of a meeting. The goal of this sprint was to have a meeting of the minds of the major people working within the Zope community to creating content management systems. We had representatives from a number of organizations, including the ones listed here. And I've noted, you know, with some of them, some of the sort of well-known products related to content management that they provide. And it's kind of interesting. I was, it was a really nice meeting because basically everybody came to it with a commitment to cooperate and to work together to provide a common CMS infrastructure on top of Zope 3. Most of the players, or many of the organizations, expressed the expectation to be on Zope 3 in some form within months, you know, perhaps say within a year or less, sometimes somewhat less. In particular, we brainstormed, and it was really primarily brainstorming, a really large set of features that we would like to share, that we would like to be part of a common infrastructure, as well as the goal that in the future you will be able to use bits and pieces of the individual systems together. The promise of Zope 3 with the component architecture, you know, in Zope 2, each framework tends to, well, a lot of frameworks tend to get tendrils everywhere. Everything's connected to everything else, and it's kind of difficult to change things. It's difficult to mix and match. Zope 3's architecture was designed to allow systems to be built in a much more agile fashion, in a much more interchangeable fashion. And so the goal is to continue to have different systems that excel and innovate in different directions, but to make it much easier to use these systems together. And an important part of that will be a common, very significantly sized a base of common software. This software will be covered by the Zope public license, not necessarily owned by Zope Corporation, but covered by the ZPL so that we can keep our licensing story straightforward and simple, hopefully. We'll have a common collaborative site, which is a couple of folks offered to host it, and they were going to go off and decide exactly what they were going to do, and I haven't heard back from that. We'll also have a common software repository, and we'll have contributions as time allows. Remember, we're not in a hurry with Zope 3. So I just want to quickly sort of give you an idea. I was actually quite impressed with the breadth of the vision of this. Lots and lots of areas that we want to collaborate on, including UI and presentation innovations and infrastructure. There was a desire to implement a common sort of, well, I guess you could call it son of CMF default, but hopefully without making whatever mistakes CMF default made. I think the idea is to make it so obviously not something that you're supposed to use that, well, what? But that's what that was the idea with CMF default too. Well, I don't know. We'll see. But it's called Chickens, spelled with an X. One of the what? Right. And so in the future, real men will use chickens. This is one of our mottos in Zope 3 is that we don't want dead chickens, which is, you know, dead chickens are sacrifices that you have to offer up to make software gods happy. So naturally the folks who decided they wanted to do this called the chickens. There's a fairly ambitious set of content management facilities, workflow, publishing facilities, including things like staging. Well, okay, I'm not going to read through this. I'll sort of you know, go through some of these briefly. There was a desire to have a page composition system based on pagelets and portlets for, you know, plugging in bits of content, a layout manager to organize it all, make sure that the ZMI is replaceable so that we don't have to have dual interfaces, as well as an idea that we really still need to think about a lot more, but the notion of what some of us think of as hat-based UIs, where different kinds of users get a different UI rather than having to share the same UI with other users who have very different goals and aspirations. An example would be, you know, providing a different UI for content management, a different UI for consumption, a different UI for development, and so on. Inline editing. There's a lot of interest in XSLT and pipelining models to perhaps provide better separation of the various aspects of creating a UI. More sophisticated forms processing, including forms where, you know, in ZOAP 3 and in archetypes and other systems, you have forms that are automatically generated based on schemas, but you know, the challenge is to provide a lot more control over what the forms look like, and maybe, you know, interactive things that let you drag bits of the form around and manipulate it at a high level. We want to provide accessibility requirements. Chickens, Trace, well, maybe Trace can fill in more if anybody's interested on chickens. Pardon me? Okay, so it's if you want to use chickens, you can go to the Z3 base site and download it from there someplace. So this is their term, not mine. They had a millstone one that with a very 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 simple start. I won't try to explain describe that. And then they have lots of features that they want to build onto it. The idea is to start very small and build on it. And in particular, to try to illustrate the ways that you can sort of gradually add features in a very sort of, in a component-oriented way. Content management, lots and lots of features. I'm not going to bore you by reading all these bullets, but I'm showing you the bullets just so you can get an idea of some of the things that we're talking about. The main point I want to make here is that it's a very ambitious set of software. We'll have two kinds of workflow, the activity-based, including support for interoperability with other WFMC-based systems, and we'll continue to also have a state-based workflow system. We're going to have support for staging, some multi-site publishing, various sorts of dependency management mechanisms to make things like baking and cache invalidation and just proper staging of things work. Stable URLs so that if you want to have a policy that your published URLs don't go away, you can do that. I guess one of the big trends in ZOAP is to add groups. I'm actually in the process of adding groups to ZOAP 3, so we'll have groups finally. Sorry it's taken so long. And then the typical user management things that you expect. We'll have sort of operation support for things like installation and cache support and logging, et cetera. And there's a lot of interest in integration with external things. So again, this is developer support. I'd like to talk more about some aspects of development a little bit later. So this is a very ambitious list, and it was basically a brainstorming session. Again, what I take away from this mainly is that we want a broad common base. It'll take a lot of effort to get there, but you know, the community has produced some cool things with ZOAP 3. It's produced some pretty cool things with ZOAP 2 as well. So I'm convinced that over time we'll get there. We're going to work together. It'll take time because, well, we all have to make a living. Also because we don't have a need to rush. We have great systems like Plone and CPS and Silva and so on and so forth. So we're going to take our time. We don't want to be rushed. We want to get it right. And, you know, speaking for Zope Corporation, we'll contribute as our time allows and as it sort of makes sense based on, you know, when we see something that we need that belongs there, then we'll contribute. And that's what'll determine the schedule. You know, when people are building things for Zope 3 and they need something, they'll build it. Of course, they'll get it wrong and then they'll build it again and they'll, you know, build it again. But eventually we'll get it right. So, bottom line, I really want to emphasize this. There's no need to rush to Zope 3. You shouldn't feel any under any pressure, and you shouldn't put us any under any pressure. We're making progress. We're doing cool stuff. Check it out if you're interested. There are lots of advantages. But Zope 2 is a great system. It's going to be with us for a long time. Use it. But if Zope 3 has what you need and you don't have and you don't need backward compatibility, then I'd also recommend that you check out Zope 3. If Zope 3 meets your needs, you know, if it meets your needs, if it's got what you need or is pretty darn close, and if you don't need backward compatibility, I do want you to use it. Why do I want you to use it? Because the more people using it in their day jobs, the quicker the development of the more quickly Zope 3 and this content management infrastructure that we're going to be putting together will mature. Any questions about that? You've been pretty quiet, but of course this hasn't been a really technical presentation. Any questions? Any comments? Okay. So we also did a little bit of hacking at the sprint. We did some interesting things. We began designing and prototyping a pipelining model for presentation. I think that will be pretty significant over time. Hopefully the people who care about this will continue to make progress, and I'll do what I can to help them. We got an initial version of chickens, as Trace mentioned. We did a little prototyping on an idea for interpreting state machines for Zope 3 based on interfaces and components to kind of more tightly integrate state-based models with the component architecture. That was kind of interesting. We had some really good discussions on coming up with a type system for associations. Zope introduces this idea of interfaces, which you might be using in Zope 2, and of course are leveraged heavily in Zope 3, that allow you to reason about the types of content. Now we're starting to think about ways of reasoning about types of associations. And I think that's going to be important to come up with sort of next generation reference models. Began to design, or at least think about UML generation for Zope 3. That ArcGen UML or XML or whatever it's called is very cool. We definitely want that. You know, you want it for Plone, and I want it for Zope 3. And we also at least began talking about how to provide BOA support for X3, or maybe turning around and providing Zope 3 support for BOA. So we got a bunch of good things done. I'd like to switch gears here a little bit and tell you about some things I've been thinking about. Maybe see if you have some comments or some suggestions. I somehow got it in my head that there would be a lot of non-developers here, but I didn't find any. I don't know why I thought that, but. I heard a rumor that there were a lot of non-developers in New Orleans, so I guess that's why I thought this. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit about the development model, and in particular, I want to talk about the non-development model and see if I can get some input either now or later. So Zope 3 was very much designed for developers. The developer rules for Zope 3. Zope 3 is all about them, and that's good. Zope 2 was really originally designed for non-developers. It kind of did that to a fault. It kind of blurred the activities of developers and non-developers. It didn't really provide the cleanest transition path. And I think Zope 3 can do a lot better. well, why do I care about this? I care about this because I think non-developers are really important to Zope. I don't think we want to turn our back on them. Why? Because, well, there are a lot more of them than there are of us. So that's a reason to care about them. They often create the prototypes that that lead to an eventual Zope choice. And those, you know, for those of us who are developers by profession, that's pretty important because that leads them to eventually hire us to help them finish something. They're often the decision makers. And Zope 2's through the web development facilities, despite all of their warts and flaws and eventually perhaps traps, really empowered a lot of non-technical developers. I know firsthand of a number of people who are using Zope who weren't technical people when they started using it. In fact, many of them still aren't. Zope Corporation has some really important business because a non-developer, I mean really a non-developer, created a prototype and was successful. In fact, one of our customers started with a prototype that displaced Vignette in their organization. And I was there on the, you know, we helped them at the very end to make it scale adequately for them to launch. And so I was there on the day they launched, and the content managers, the producers of this media site were ecstatic. They were thrilled with this system, this content management system that was built by one of them and displaced Vignette. So I think that's pretty powerful. Plone empowers non-developers too. But you know, maybe I'm wrong, but you know, sort of being here this week as an outsider, it feels like all of you are developers and like all of you are rightly sort of adopting development practices, and that's a good thing. I don't know to what degree Plone is sort of appealing to non-developers as users. Certainly what I heard about what I saw this week was a lot of emphasis on developers. And again, that's good because that's what you want, you know, that's what you want if you're going to be building real production quality sites, but we need to focus on the non-developer too. So I'd like to, you know, over the coming months, as one of the areas where I'd like Zope 3 to make some advances is in empowering non-developers. And my problem is I'm a developer, and all the people I know are developers. We had this thread, you know, on Zope 3 dev a few months ago where I said, you know, we really need to talk to non-developers. And then all these developers chimed in and said, well, I'm a developer, but this is what I think we ought to do. So I don't know, maybe we'll just have to guess, but somehow we need to, you know, I think it would be good if we could talk to some non-developers and find out. But here's some ideas I have just to kind of maybe, you know, stimulate thought, perhaps. I don't think that we should force non-developers to become developers to play. In other words, I think that we ought to provide some facilities in Zope that allow non-developers to do interesting things without actually forcing them to do tasks they don't want with skills that they don't have and don't want to have. I think through the web, even if we don't call it development per se, is important for them. And I think it's an important tool, an important vector for Zope growth. I think maybe we need a clearer separation of roles. On the mailing list, I've talked about that maybe there's a notion of a scripter, somebody who just wants to get something done, somebody who wants to create a page, and that page might have some logic in it. It's a one-off thing. They want to get it done. A lot of other systems make this easy. Zope 2 made this fairly easy. I don't think we want to turn our back on that. Then there's this sort of other role maybe of site customizers who do a bit more. They might Whereas maybe the scripter makes very local changes. I like to sometimes talk about active content, but I'm a developer. I don't really know what I'm talking about. But I'm just brainstorming here. There's sort of site customizers. I know we've got some features in our commercial software that allows people to customize the look and feel through the web, and that's very appealing. You might say, it's better to work on the file system, but the people who pay us money find this very, very attractive. And then we also want to appeal to designers, people who design web interfaces. And, I've been hearing a lot lately that that they are changing a lot. Maybe they're using XML technologies a lot more than they used to be. Maybe they're not. The good news I've heard a lot of people say is they're no longer designing websites with Photoshop. That's progress. I'm not one of them. So, somehow we need to connect with folks like this if we're going to serve their needs better. A big thing we need is we need clear boundaries between the activities. One of the problems, the reason through the web development, I heard lots and lots of legitimate bad things about through the web development this week. There are really sort of two big problems with it. One is that there isn't sort of a clear place where you need to stop doing that and switch to something else. A lot of these techniques that are really great for doing one-off things or for being, doing great prototypes, it's not obvious when people should stop doing that and switch to different techniques. And we need to make those boundaries a lot clearer and a lot more obvious. And then we also need to provide a better migration path from the sort of through the web activities or the sort of scripting activities and other activities to a more rigorous development model. We've certainly been thinking about this in Zope 3. I said earlier when Zope Corporation was first thinking about this in 2000 that we sort of had these three bits. And one part was trying to provide a smooth transition between through the web and file system-based development. And we've made some progress in this area. We're at a kind of a funny state where a lot of the progress we've made we can't really leverage for kind of unimportant reasons. As I mentioned earlier, we want to kind of separate the roles. And we've actually recently decided that that while there will be through the web development because it has some advantages, it will be used solely for prototyping. There were some, I won't go into the details, but there were some reasons why we thought we would actually have to support through the web product development, for lack of a better term. And we've decided we can solve the problems that motivated that in other ways. So we've decided that that any through the web development we provide will be geared towards prototyping. And the reason we'll continue to support that is that it's much easier to iterate, which is important when prototyping, when you're working through the web. And to prevent it from being a trap, we're going to provide tools for automatically generating through the web, converting through the web prototypes to actually file system-based products. One of the things we've done in Zope 3 is to actually provide a through the web development model that mimics in a lot of ways the file system development model. We don't have Python scripts. Instead, we have Python modules. Python modules are what you use on the file system. So we're gonna provide eventually the ability to take a through the web prototype and turn it into a file system based product automatically. Another thing that we've done is we've come up with a file system synchronization mechanism that is geared towards allowing you to work with either your software or your content, either through the web or through the file system. And in fact, it to even allow some sort of offline editing capabilities. But the idea is that you can check it out of the web server or the Zope server and actually check it into a revision control system. So I think that the sort of boundary between through the web and file system development will sort of become a lot more porous. It'll be a lot easier to move back and forth and choose the environment that makes sense for you without, in Zope 2, if you choose one, you're kind of committed to it, and it's kind of hard to change back and forth. So what are some possible ideas? Well, we need to talk to non-developers. I'm not sure exactly how to do that. If anybody's got any ideas, if any of you, one idea I had that I haven't had the wherewithal or the time to pursue is maybe going to conferences where, you know, more sort of high-level web users, web systems users might congregate and maybe doing some, you know, sort of experimental things where you maybe present ideas to people and see how they react. If you know of good meetings, you know, and would be willing to participate in some experiments or something, you know, that could be an interesting way to help out. Definitely one of the things that I've heard, I have talked to some non-developers and not as many as I would like, but certainly a recurring theme is the ability to create new content types and simple views for them interactively so that you can, you know, well, yeah, enough said. I know that there's been some progress in that area. Alan and Sydney have done some interesting things in this package that they hope to release today in that area. The UML thing is really cool, but I don't think it's friendly enough for this audience. Yeah, comment? Yeah. Yeah, that's an idea. No. That's a good point. Maybe sort of an idea we've kicked around is sort of quick and dirty dynamic content. I don't know. This is brainstorming by a developer. So what do you think? Do you have any reaction? Any suggestions? That we've just had a good one. Yep. Any other comments?
Yeah, I would also like to say I do a lot of stuff for really small organizations. And they use something like smaller CMSs, Mumble, for instance, and then has a brilliant product that generates skin images. They just mix up, say, two colors, all the colors, it's really insightful, and then it actually writes out two files that you then come to the server. So it's interactive, but then it generates.
Okay, so tools that sort of lead somebody through the generation of a UI. Was there a hand up over there?
It seems like this might be a good place for creating a feedback for the enterprise market department.
You know, the thing is when you mentioned before, you know, sort of market research on content management systems, that's not really the audience that I'm looking for here. I'm looking for the person who, you know, maybe downloads Zope to, you know, do some kind of departmental level thing or to play or to just, you know, maybe they want to do something for a club or something. Just people who are just exploring. I mean, if you're going to buy a content management system, you're not going to just, I mean, you might download Plone and play with it, but now I'm really looking for, certainly, I think in terms of attracting people who are looking for a content management system, things like Plone are definitely an important thing there. But I think we need more than that. I'm really kind of looking at kind of the customization and creative aspects of it, that people feel they can be productive with little enough effort that they're comfortable then sort of paying other people or investing more themselves in finishing it. Any other comments, input? If you're at all, Takeshi? Right. Right.